morning, everybody, or good evening, depending on where you are. We've got seven people here with me and Francesca in the room, and I understand there are 15 people on the line. Hopefully everybody can hear me. And basically what I thought I would do is talk a little through the company presentation, but not go page by page, because I can talk endlessly and have the tendency to do so. But once I've given what I hope will be a reasonable scene setter, then we'll just throw it open for questions from callers on the line or people here, and that way we can hopefully everybody can get to know what it is they want to know. So basically, I'm going to use as the aid for talking you through the current situation, the company overview that was put on the website quite recently. This one was done shortly after the announcement of the raise we made in June. Has not been updated to reflect the fact that the EGM and the shareholders approved that raise at the EGM last week. But basically, if I can draw everybody's attention, if they're looking at this, to slide number five, this was the slide that presented the rationale for why we did another raise in June, having, as you all know, done one in January. And I'd like to talk you through that, because I think it's important that I basically tell everybody what the theory was. Obviously, in January, we managed to raise $16 million, which funded a four-well program. And we've announced today that the first of those four wells has spudded, so that's Snow Leopard underway in block number five. We also are going to drill back-to-back with that Wild Horse in block number four, and that should spud sometime in September once Snow Leopard is done. And we are in the throes of final negotiation on the recontract for two wells to be drilled in the northern part of block 20. And the plan is, and the rig availability is, to be able to spud the first well, Gazelle, before the end of September. Now, basically, the money we raised in January was effectively enough to fund that program and nothing else. So those four wells drilled by December, we'd be in a position of needing more money. And that made the board a little bit uncomfortable. At the time of the raise, the board said, well, it's nice to have some, although we were oversubscribed, it's nice to not take every dollar off the table. Let's leave some aftermarket action. But the board was a little bit concerned that, if we commit to that program, then we're going to be in a rush to raise some more money. Now, obviously, on the back of success, we probably wouldn't get too much pushback on that, or on the back of encouragement, if not necessarily a hit it out of the park success. But basically, as we went through the next few months, the first thing we decided to do was reinvigorate the farm-out effort that had been running kind of through 2017, but without too much in the way of momentum. So we reinvigorated that. We used a boutique house here in London to organize the farm-out data room, and we put together a very nice information memorandum to see if that would generate some interest. And I'm pleased to say it did. Whereas in the past, we only ever got one company that was interested, but that was BG, and they pulled the trigger and farmed in, which I think was a big feather in the cap to Petromitad in those days. Obviously, through the Shell takeover, we then lost BG, which was to Petromitad's detriment at that time. This time around, we have had four companies that have shown a good deal of interest in the farm-in. But fair to say, all of them could calculate that at the end of a four-well program, we would have no more money. So the expressions of interest that were made kind of, I think, still looked upon Petromitad as a distressed seller. Okay, these guys are going to need some more money. If they haven't had enough encouragement in their early wells, we're their only solution. So actually, the two most vociferous of the four were looking for basically to pay us a small amount of money for an option. They wanted the option of right of first refusal on the success case. Now, through this farm out, we've had quite a lot of people who are saying, well, I'm not doing exploration. These include very big companies as well. I'm not doing exploration. I'm not doing new country entry at the moment. But I'd be happy to pay you a lot more when you've de-risked it and you've found some oil. So basically, a byproduct of the second raise was that it strengthened our financial and therefore our negotiating position. Now, as you've all seen, we've spudded the first well, so the chance of a deal pre-spud is now gone because we've already spudded. We are still in conversation with two companies. We don't have long before Snow Leopard's going to get to its first objective, so time is running short on the farm out. But as I have told the would-be farminees, and I've told investors and shareholders repeatedly, and I do mean it, I like this prospectivity, and I'm happy that we're funded for now a six-well program and to take us through the full evaluation of that until the end of 2019. And I'm quite happy to drill this at a 100% working interest because we now can. If somebody wants to make us an offer that I can stand up in front of shareholders next year when we've made a discovery and say, I didn't give it away, then come on, boys, but I'm not going to give you a cheap exclusivity or a first right of refusal on success when I've got some super majors waiting in the wings who have said, give us a call once you've de-risked it. And that's not just their polite way of saying, I'm not interested. They are actually interested. For them, the amount of money we'd be looking for to drill these five or six wells, for them, it's kind of pocket change. They're willing to pay a lot more because it's a lot easier to get their board's approval to come in once the play has been de-risked. So that was a nice byproduct of the raise, to be in that financial position, the position that we are currently in, where I'm quite happy to go through with this program at a 100% interest, because the value proposition in the event of success all comes to us, and that's going to have, you know, a big beneficial impact on the share price. But the other thing we were doing during the period from January to June, we were doing, I brought in a couple of wizened old geologist geophysicists that I worked with in the past. They were refreshing the review of the prospects we had targeted for 2018, but also looking for new stuff. And one guy spent every working hour working on the 3D interpretation in the Tugruk Basin, which, as you may remember, is one of my favorite basins because it has all of the ingredients that the other basins have of source rock and reservoir rock on the flanks, but this one also has a core hole drilled in it that had live oil at the bottom of it. So a nice basin to be in. The 3D, whilst causing Falcon to shrink to a level where it was replaced in our favors by Snow Leopard, which had been a favorite of the company and actually of BG for some time. But with Falcon shrinking, Fox, which had been a lead, an unnamed lead on the 2D, was really showed to be a very, very nice prospect in that basin that we really did want to drill. So that was the primary technical rationale for the raise, was we really want to drill the Fox well. We want to drill it with the rig we've got. We want to drill it in 2019. I'd love to drill it in 2018, but we won't have time because winter will come and the rigs are not winterized. So the speed with which we could move, if we were able to commit now to negotiate with Sinopec to keep that rig, to keep it on the same basis that we have now, so long as that's working well for us, and to be able to move ahead with the budgeting and the permitting for the Fox location was important to us. And another prospect that came out of from the farm out data room, one of the attendees in the data room had asked to take some data away, and obviously we had to approve what data they could remove from the data room to work on back in their own office, and they were looking at data in the southern part of Block 20. And so I asked the exploration team, what the hell are they looking at? Because I was rather surprised by this. And so the team showed me and said, oh, yeah, I see what it is they like. And actually, I like it too. Why aren't we maturing that one to drillable status? And that's where this Red Deer prospect came from. Now, the other thing to bear in mind, and this was, I think, foremost in the board's thinking, was we've got 1.5 after this drilling season, we've got 1.5 drilling seasons left on Block 20 before the end of the exploration period, and we've got two left on Blocks 4 and 5. If anybody could get an extension, it's probably us, because we're the most active explorer, and we know through our Petrovis connections, we know a lot of people within the Mongolian regulator and within the ministry, but it would be a change of the petroleum law, and that won't happen quickly. So whilst we could ask, we have to assume that we better do what we can within the remaining life of this license, and I don't want to waste the 2019 drilling program. If we had waited until the end of the year to fund ourselves for 2019, I was worried that we wouldn't actually be able to drill within 2019, and on Block 20, that would really put us in a time bind. So that was another part of the rationale. What it has also given us is some flexibility now. We have the money in the bank. We have For example, at Wild Horse, we have permitted two locations on the Wild Horse structure. If the first one was to come in, we have an appraisal location we could use, and we could change the program depending on the results we find. We've also given ourselves a little bit of we've taken a little bit of money as contingency to be able to test these wells if we find zones that are meriting or requiring of testing. I was pleased to find, although I'd been told it wasn't the case when I first arrived in Mongolia, that there is a testing company in Mongolia. It's part of the PetroChina group. It works effectively all of the time for PetroChina, but it has a service rig. It has all the equipment. It has explosive licenses to perforate casing, to run proper cased hole drill stem tests. And that we have signed a contract with them, a call-off contract with them, whereby if we have any zones of interest to test in these wells, which obviously we hope we do, we'll be able to mobilize that rig. If we were to be paying a lot of money now, we could shorten that mobilization time. But I don't like to spend too much money when I don't for sure know that I want to test. So we're doing all that we can without lashing out big bucks at this stage to be able to mobilize that rig as soon as we're ready and that we know we want to use it. So that has given us flexibility. Now we've expanded the program from four wells in 2018 to six wells in the period 2018-2019, funded ourselves through to the end of 2019 to do the evaluation, and now we've got six wells, five risk-independent basins, 850 million barrels of targeted prospective resource. And I'm glad to say we have finally started, because I know there was a lot of, you know, debate about whether that was actually going to happen. Well, you know, during the silence, there has been a hell of a lot of activity going on. It's 150 truckloads to move this rig, and it had to move over 1,000 kilometers. I myself was a bit dubious that there were that many trucks in Mongolia, but there are. Well, there are about 60 that Sinopec had use of, and they've made two or three trips each, and it has gone surprisingly smoothly. In the final last 10 days, it started to rain heavily in the Gobi Desert, so a few of our trucks got stuck, but we were able to free them, so that didn't cost us too much time. But also when it rains, it helped. The herders are less stressed when it's rained because they think their animals have a chance of bulking up before the next winter, so everything has calmed down. This week is a major festival in Mongolia, and I was keen to be spudded before that started because everything shuts down and truck drivers go home on holiday. So we were able to get started before that happened. So the expansion and the extension of the program that was already has the potential to be transformative. We've added fox and we've added red deer to that program. And the only break, the only hiatus will be for the winter. And if we can agree with Sinopec, and every indication is that they're ready, willing, and able to extend the contract for their rig, we will winter the rig either at Wild Horse, or if we have had the chance to get the permits and prepare the site for Fox, we could move the rig to Fox and winter it there and be ready to drill as soon as it's warm enough or the snow has left the area. And likewise, Red Deer, the rig we're using there, as I say, we're in the final throes of negotiating the contract, but that is, we're negotiating with the guy who's drilled all of the wells for PetroChina. He has his base only 30 kilometers away, so his rig will probably go back to base for the winter, but then it's only got 100 kilometers or 140 kilometers to mobilize to Red Deer. So the presentation reminds everybody, if I could turn everybody's attention just briefly to the back of the presentation, slides 26 and 27, it just reminds people what we're chasing with the wells in 2018. So our first well, Snow Leopard, that has now spudded. We've got two primary objectives in this well that are on three-way fault closures, and we've got three other secondary objectives that we're going to drill through in getting to TD on this well. The 90 million barrel recoverable potential is only from two of those targets. We haven't assessed the potential of the others, but we'll be going through them all on the way down. 3,350-meter TD is what we are planning with Snow Leopard, and around about a 70-day duration, which is kind of Sinopec's estimate. We're not arguing with them. We hope it will be a little bit quicker, but we'll see. So 70-day well to get to TD and to log and evaluate what we found. Then Wild Horse in Block 4, a shallower well. When we were talking about it back in February, it was 1,850 meters. We've actually done a little bit more depth conversion work now, so we've said it might be around about 2,000 meters rather than 1,850. But that's not going to make any big difference to the cost of about $4 million. And once we're under that unconformity and into the stratigraphy below the unconformity on that cross section there, effectively it's all within the closure of the trap. We'll see what that stratigraphy has in it. We're very, very hopeful that it's the Jurassic Cretaceous reservoir source pairing or the Triassic Permian source pairing or both. But we have also increased the resource potential of this prospect. The way it had been calculated previously was, I think, a little bit hair-shirted. They'd actually only assessed the reservoir potential close to the seismic markers they had mapped. But as I said, effectively, we've got about 1,000 meters of stratigraphy that's within closure here. So taking an average net to gross that we observe from what we think this stratigraphy is of about 30%, that has increased the resource potential of this to 480 million barrels. And as I tell everybody endlessly, Wood Mackenzie have rated this as one of 20 exploration wells to watch globally in 2018. It's the only one that's onshore. The others are largely offshore deep water. So, you know, a $4 million shot at nearly 500 million barrels is not a bad thing to be doing. And it's a structure that I very much like the structure. We don't have a huge handle on what the stratigraphy is, but there's no way we're walking away without drilling this. You absolutely have to drill a structure like this. And Shell did say so on their way out of the door. They said, make sure you drill Wild Horse. We said, we're going to, but not because you said so. and then in Block 20, just slide 28, the Gazelle prospect we've talked about before, the only thing that's changed here is actually Gazelle has grown in size. We've done some remapping with these guys that I brought in and done a new assessment of resource potential. Previously, it was around about 8 million barrels. We now assess its most likely case to be around about 13 million barrels. And the team has been finalizing the reinterpretation of all of the various vintages of seismic in this area that we've been able to get our hands on to pick the second location. It's not been a critical path item because we've permitted all five, so we could have chosen any one we want. I think it's likely to be Heron because that has the largest upside potential, but it also has the benefit of three oil-bearing wells drilled on the Petrochina side on the same structure. So effectively an appraisal style of risk for Heron. I'm expecting that decision to be made pretty soon. But as I say, it's not been time critical up until now. So that's a reminder of what was in the 2018 program. I'll just now say a little bit about the prospects that we've added in 2019, and then we can kind of throw it open to questions. So if you turn to slide number 12, so this is our new target, the Fox prospect in the Tugruk Basin. So the Tugruk Basin is the most easterly basin within our acreage portfolio in 4 and 5, right over there in the west of Block 5. This was where the company, before I joined, decided to shoot some 3D because whilst it's got some good source rock indications, it's also pretty complicated from a structural point of view. And so the team decided that 3D would be a better way of imaging that complexity. And it's as well they did because Falcon, the initial target on the 2D, that we did not think would be affected in a major way by 3D imaging, actually was. Because of the frequency of faulting in this particular basin. And so Falcon became quite small, whereas the Fox lead was matured to drillable status and is really, really well imaged on the 3D. And Fox is twice the size that Falcon used to be. So very, very nice target. And it's right in the basin center, which maximizes your chance for that, you know, if the source is generating, then you don't need long distance migration. It's right there, right in the core of the kitchen area. So that's very, very encouraging. Slide 13 summarizes that core hole that adds one aspect to the source rock story for the Tugrug that the other basins don't have. They don't have a deep core hole drilled and that found live oil staining at the bottom of it. This was something that Petromitad did back in 2011. And so that is a very good indicator because this oil is not biodegraded. It hasn't been sitting there for millions of years being eaten by near-surface bugs. It is fresh oil, so it has migrated recently, geologically recently. Therefore, that basin we believe to be generating now. So what better than to find a prospect right in the center of the basin? So the Fox prospect shown on slides 14 and 15, three-way dip closure against two very, very big normal faults. We are 8 kilometers away from the proven oil in that core hole, so not very far away, but as I say, right in the core of the basin. We know by correlation from the core hole, where we were able to date the rocks that were drilled in that core hole back in 2011, we know that this is the Jurassic Cretaceous primary play fairway of Mongolia and northern China. So Fox just could not be ignored. It's about 3,000 meters to the crest and would be about 4,000 meters to TD if we decide to go all the way to basement on the Fox well. And therefore, we have assumed that based on the cost of Snow Leopard, which is a 3,300-meter well, which all in all, with money already spent and money still to be spent, is costing $7.8 million, we've assumed around about $9 million for Fox, based on the same kind of performance that CINAPEC have rated for their ability to drill Snow Leopard. So that's why Fox is a little more expensive, because it's a little bit deeper. We are in the process of starting the permitting for Fox. Some of the work that we had done for Falcon will be applicable here, so we should be able to shorten the process a bit. Quite a bit of the field study that was done for Falcon, the Fox area is effectively the same, so that will shorten that, and we are likely to get approval for two locations for Fox, one for the initial exploration well location and then one for a follow-up. And as I said, it's got 206 million barrels of mean resource potential recoverable, is our estimate, which is double the size that that Falcon previously was. So we're very much looking forward to drilling that. And then the Red Deer prospect, slides 16 and 17. Previously, we've only really spoken since I've been involved anyway, about the northern part of Block 20, where there are some, I hate the expression, but low-hanging fruit, chance to get some runs on the board, some structures that have wells drilled on them on the PetroChina side of the fence that actually found some oil, so good chance of success, close to facilities that have spare capacity. We've spoken to PetroChina about that. They have said, if you find something, come and talk to us. We'll be more than happy to make some arrangement. So that's the focus of the 2018 drilling. But as you can see on slide 16, Block 20 is a very large block. Has a number of basins defined within it through technical work that Petromitad has done, some of them defined by gravity, some of them defined by gravity and seismic. And the Red Deer prospect is right at the southern end of where Petromitad has shot seismic data. But what we like about it is it's an absolute dead ringer for the best producing field in the PetroChina acreage, 150 kilometers away to the north. So this basin has not been proven by any means, but the stratigraphy, we are highly confident that the stratigraphy of all of these basins in Block 20 is the same as the producing area and the same as basins on the Chinese side of the border nearby that are also producing. And the structure is very, very nicely defined. It's a 2,100-meter well that can be drilled with the same rig that will drill Gazelle and the second well this year and will cost around about the same. There's a little bit more mob-demob to go in, so we've increased the cost estimate from $2.5 million to $2.9 million. But well worth getting after because, of course, with a shorter time left on Block 20, at the end of the exploration period, we effectively have to say, right, we want to keep these particular areas, and you have to have at least some encouragement for a potentially commercial discovery. So we need to get after doing some work in Block 20 in 2019 because the block is going to, the expiration period is going to end in July of 2020. So there isn't that much time left, given the hiatus in drilling. So those are the prospects we have added to the program. I'd love to be doing them all back to back, but the drilling window does get in the way, or the window of no drilling gets in the way. But we will be looking to extend the contracts for the two rigs and getting the permitting in place so that these are ready to go early in 2019 as possible, giving us the maximum amount of time to evaluate the results. So I think that kind of summarizes what I wanted to say. The presentation still includes the success case economics, which obviously are based on numerous assumptions, but a lot of good technical and commercial work has gone into that. Really, the only thing we've added is the success case for Red Deer, which is a 48 million barrel target in Block 20, and that has an NPV10 in the success case of over $300 million, which for a company with a market cap of less than 100 at the moment, that's well worth chasing. So, and Mongolia is making strides to build its refinery. They've had a groundbreaking ceremony already to start building the refinery. They're going to need throughput for that. We know they're talking to PetroChina about diverting their export route from taking all the oil to China to taking it to that refinery when it's ready. From our point of view, that's a positive thing. And certainly the attention we're getting from the government at the moment is very positive, because we are by far the most active explorer. PetroChina isn't doing any exploration. It's just doing production and development. There is one other company that drilled one well last year and is planning, we believe, to drill one more this year. But other than that, the rest of the PSCs are quiet. People aren't actively operating. So we're getting a lot of attention. And although we would say, well, okay, once that refinery is ready, we'll be happy to supply it. Meanwhile, our success case economics assume that in Block 20, we would join PetroChina's export route to China. And for Blocks 4 and 5, we would like to do early production that also takes that production to China, where we know that there is a demand for it. So that is that's the update. Was pleased to be able to announce that we have finally spudded. The mobilization was smoother than I dared to hope, not to say it was completely smooth, and we have found out that there are a lot of people and a lot of government agencies that like to be fully involved. So having or learning those lessons as we go for Snow Leopard, we will definitely be applying them for Wild Horse. The good news is that in Block 20, they're so close to the towns and the people in that area. They live so close to PetroChina's producing area, they're used to oil industry activity. That's absolutely not the case in Western Mongolia, where, you know, this has never happened before. So, you know, the rig showing up, and when the derrick went up, this was a major event for, you know, hundreds of kilometers around, lots of people showing up to look at this strange object. So it's nice to be making a bit of impact locally as well.